Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to this Saturday session on Exploring Ekphrasis. Captain B2 here, and my trusty co-pilot, Gray Smith. Are you out there, Gray? Earth to Gray, come in, Gray.
I am, Bobby. Hi,
there
Bobby.
You are. Cleverly disguised, I see.
Yes.
Hey, well, welcome. Thank you. We started this evening with a little blast from the past, was the Bananarama's Venus. I thought we'd shake things up, we'll get things started. A little lively music there to wake everybody up. And because by the time the end of the program rolls around, they might be asleep. Who knows? Anyway, we had a great show last time, Memorial Day. We actually, I think we set a landmark. We set an event. We actually got through all the poetry. So we are not starting this evening off with any carryovers. Can you imagine that? I think we ought to send up some fireworks and some rockets and some flares and celebrate.
Yeah.
Drinks for everybody. Yeah. So with that, let me get right into this evening's contest, which I have entitled Too Much of a Good Thing. And the reason I entitled it, when I started researching the artist, featured artist, Thomas Alan Capera, he was so prolific. I found well over 100 pieces, and I was like, oh my God, how am I going to select what I'm going to put out there for contest? Because it was all so amazing and so different and so mind-blowing. And I thought, well, what the hell? Why not do two back-to-back contests with the same artist? So I'm doing this month in June what I'm calling a doubleheader, Too Much of a Good Thing Part 1 is this evening, the pagan imagery of Thomas L. Copera. And I actually was fortunate enough to get a long write-up by the artist also, which I really love it when they talk about their own work. And so I included that in the write-up and a fair selection of his work. And probably tomorrow I will go ahead, since I've already prepared it, we'll go ahead and post Too Much of a Good Thing Part 2, and you can see more of his work. I've had a lot of very favorable feedback on this artist. Everyone seems to really find something to write about with him, which I'm really, really excited about. So let's go ahead and get started. You want to go ahead and post number one, whoever that is.
I've already done that.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir. And why don't you go ahead and take it off, please?
Okay, sure. This is called Honesty's Hour by Papa Berto. I sit in my dark and lonely room, so bleak. I've been hurt too bad to turn the other cheek. I sulk into my chair when I hear a creak. A man was coming up the stairs to speak. He opens the door and paper he lay. He says he has little time to stay. He knows I've been wronged by a man named Shay, and he needs my help or his presence will weigh. I told him there was no way I could face him after what he had done. He used me as a toy for his own enjoyment and fun. I had tried to find comfort at home, but I had been shunned. I had accepted defeat, and I knew Shay had won. The man said he needed a psyops in the ranks of the cult. He had not meant to scare me, and his presence was no insult. I mustered up the courage and would get the proper result. I had left my apartment and was ready to consult. I had conquered my fear and bloomed into a beautiful flower. The man had given me strength and power, but there was something in my mind that was still quite sour. Why this short fat man had come to me at Honesty's Hour. End poem.
Excellent read. Thank you. And Papa Berto wrote this to prompt 14, which if anyone's looking at the prompts, is interesting. It's it looks like a group of people brandishing a flag, and they're all very stony and brown and gray looking, but emerging from the flag is this flaming figure, just arm and head and torso coming out. So it's very interesting. It looks like almost like they're in rebellion, but the rebellion itself is being rebelled against. So anyway, what did you think of what you read?
I thought it was a wonderful story. I mean, you know, here's somebody who's been defeated, you know, hiding in his room from life and all that that encompasses. And then, you know, here's somebody who shows up at his door looking for a psyops in the ranks of the cult. He had not meant to scare, and his presence was no insult. He mustered up the courage and would get the proper result. I had left my apartment and was ready to consult. You know, when somebody has the power to lift you out of that darkness and bring you into the light, that's an amazing thing. So I thought it was just a wonderful storyline. Excellent imagery and detail.
I agree. And he managed to rhyme it using the same rhyming pattern for each A, B, C, through the five stanzas. The storytelling, I think, is excellent. He's really telling a very detailed story, and all of the backstory that he's created for this image is very detailed. So I was impressed with all the detail that he put into the writing of this image. So well done, Pabverto. Thank you for that. And let's continue on. Who we have next?
Okay, we have What is in a Kiss by DDC JR's Illy.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and tackle this one. We'll trade off unless someone calls in if we get lucky. Otherwise, it's going to be Batman and Robin all night long. Okay. What's in a Kiss by Doc JRS 111 or 3, whatever. What's in a Kiss? Aside from 600 species of bacteria, plus a mouthful of mucus, yet some knowledge upchucked from the subconscious is hard to swallow. Still transmitted by a kiss, herpes and a host of horrors, including mononucleosis, syphilis, and naturally rabies. Yet couples turn to corpses are reborn upon a kiss, to turn to dust again, the halitosis less than bliss. A dedication of respect for pain of the pain of the brain, too aware, a revolving Helios couplet, Menippean satire on the master key to unlocking the subconscious, let alone the countless skeleton keys in the closet. June 2023, yet turning over in its grave Sigmund cigar breath. And poem. This is interesting. Let's see, which prompt did he use? We got prompt 19, which is, oh my goodness. This is very different. It is two flaming figures, a male and a female. It looks like it, and they're embracing and they're kissing, and there's smoke coming off from the back of each of them. This is quite a different interpretation of that figure. I would have thought it would have provoked something romantic, but instead we've got something quite the opposite here. Aside from 600 species of bacteria, plus a mouthful of mucus. A very analytical examination of the downside, apparently, of osculation, of kissing, a dedication of respect for the pain of the brain to aware. A lot of interesting metaphor in here, and it's definitely, I salute Doc JRS on a very unique take on this prompt. What did you think, Gray?
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it was dark. You know, it took Kiss to a whole different place. You know, you really don't think of these things when you're thinking of a kiss, that's for sure.
No, you're true.
But,
true. Very.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was fascinating, you know, to look at a kiss through this lens, very dark and spooky, really, hard-hitting, impactful, really captures the downside of the kiss, and I really enjoyed the stanza where he says, a revolving Helios couplet, Menippean satire on the master key to unlocking the subconscious. Let alone the countless skeleton keys in the closet. You know, I had to Google what Menippean satire was, and
I'm
you know,
it up right now. Put it on the. I'm going to put it on the board. It is actually it's a genre of satire. The genre of Menippean satire is a form of satire, usually in prose, that is characterized by attacking mental attitudes rather than specific individuals. So I was impressed. It was very clever. As I'm going to post the definition of that right now on there. So he's taught us all something. And interestingly enough, while you were speaking, I was reminded of an article I read. I think it was in the last couple of weeks about how they the history of kissing with regard to civilization and how they have traced the travel of disease along with kissing, and how there are many, many cultures that do not kiss and actually think it's repulsive. So it was an interesting article. I was very surprised by there's 100 and some odd cultures that do not kiss, and so it's not something that's universal. But they were able to track the spread of disease through kissing. So Doc may have something here.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
fascinating. You're right. It was very interesting. I was very surprised because you don't think about it in that particular vein. You know, you don't think of it in terms of spreading disease. But my God, yeah, you know, it makes sense. So all righty, so we're two down, and let's continue on.
Okay, so the next one is "When Too Much of a Good Thing Turns Bad" by Jenny the Deep, and I will give this a read.
Okay. Yes, please.
When too much of a good thing turns bad, look into thine eye, see the future of the divine, dripping with crimson oil and disdain. Chardonnay tears melt away past pains. Dark pupils dilate on this empty vessel. Saw too much, now I need a bath of cressol. A broken soul of a man, hurt by a most trusted woman. Eyes are burning with stinging acidic tears, wasting his heart again for so many years. Trust betrayed, love shattered, hearts are now painfully scattered. End poem. Hello, Bobby?
Oops. I was being polite. I was sneezing, and I didn't want to share that with the world. Jenny has she's referenced quite a few prompts at the bottom here, and she writes based off of many prompts: 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 16, 18. The kissing and yelling and the eye looking photographs. There are many, lots of words, but and I was looking up cresol, and cresol is it's a corrosive chemical that can, the contact can severely irritate and burn the skin. So interesting reference, and it may cause skin allergies. So boy, that's say too much. I need a bath of cresol. So that's a bath in something very corrosive and harsh. A broken soul of a man hurt by a most trusted woman. Eyes are burning with stinging acidic tears. The interesting references with regard to the prompts. I like the interpretation of the different prompts that she selected. What did you think of this one?
Well, you know, I thought she caught the pain of being in relationships quite wonderfully. I mean, you know, some of them can break you and leave you suffering for so many years. You know, with your trust betrayed, love shattered, hearts are now painfully scattered. You know, when things go awry in a relationship, that's a bad thing. You know, things can go sideways pretty fast in life, and you're haunted by this relationship. So you try to bathe it away with cresol, and you know, so a broken soul of a man hurt by a most trusted woman. You know, it's definitely hard hitting and impactful.
Yeah,
I like it. You know,
yeah.
It's short to the point, which is fabulous.
Yeah, and the comparison of the emotional pain to physical pain and corrosive chemicals is rather interesting. I never would have thought of it in that light. But we've got. You'll see this evening some really imaginative work out there. I mean, this particular artist has really stimulated some very interesting writing. So let's go ahead, and I think Ben Hart is next.
He says he might be calling in, so I was going to leave it for later.
Hey, that's great. Okay. I would love that.
So we'll skip on the Jewish juggernaut.
Yeah, he's actually given us a SoundCloud a couple of times, which was also very nice. So, but if you say he's going to call in, that's wonderful. Okay, so we have next Jewish juggernaut. He's fairly new he's only got 7 poems out there, and I think this is his second contest with us. So I think we've got a brand new devotee here, which is lovely to see because we get fresh new writing. And so with that, I'm going to read Jewish Juggernaut's piece, Icarus of Thorns. My most observed protege, so proud conqueror of fear. Yet is this not a fantasy of gallantry? I wonder what mysteries we will peer into as the smoke and clouds clear. Perhaps a realization that this endless toiling is a tragedy. You flew so far, yet here you are, speaking with me, a requiem of elegiac glee. You are a conqueror of adversities through dark, yet eternal darkness churns within your mortal heart. Yet every last dying breath you fight, yet you always fall burning from the light. You suffered 1,000 deaths, only to be cast back into the depths, falling, tumbling down the dead brambles, cloaked in tatters and shambles, a new skull with every fall, all so noble, so indomitable, coiled in my thorns, bones so strong, in twain are torn, yet is this so wrong, to embrace such a warm oasis, surely ignorance is bliss, barbed and spiked my thorny hands, so tenderly enshrouding your ever-burning heart, to answer all your bleak commands as a shroud wraps a body, never to depart. Cruising with the current in Eden, away from the scorching sands with you, such is my solace apart. Yet you wrestle beneath the shadows of the burning light. A twisted tree line erupts from the earth amidst your thrashing and roaring. With my jagged hands still clutching around your beating heart, you ascend in flight, such sanguine blood raining from your defiant corpse clawing and soaring. Beyond the cold of the abyss, beyond the radiance of the cosmos, what could possibly await us? Yet we seek it with iron jaws ravenous and bellicose. Such is our fate in search of heaven's gate. End poem. Wow.
Beautiful, beautiful read, Bobby.
Oh, thank you. This is intense. What did you think of it?
I really liked it. You know, you could feel the intensity of the want to leave that grip that's holding him, you know, the bramble hands, and to fly up on high to the sun, and which is his heaven. And, you know, and yet the blood pours as he tries to escape that hole. And but I really enjoyed beyond the cold of the abyss, beyond the radiance of the cosmos, what could possibly await us? Yet we seek it with iron jaws, ravenous and bellicose. Such is our fate in search of heaven's gates. I thought it was fascinating. You know, he really had an interesting take on the prompt. You know, it's definitely engaging, and really is a storyteller's platform for sure. He says in his author's notes, rhyme, dark, death, pain, and light. So yeah, wonderful poem.
It is. Thank you. You've got some great comments there. I was referencing the prompt while you were speaking, and it is his interpretation of the prompt is quite profound and provocative. It's a winged picture that looks a winged figure that has the face is shrouded, the wings are spread wide with the moon in the background and trees, and the figure's hands are clutching vines and tree, it looks like almost tree roots that have entwined themselves around the base of the figure, around all the way up to its arms. And at the base are skeletons, are skulls. So I really like it. It's taken elements of the artwork and woven them so artfully into his piece. And I love the way it's structured. It's long and then it's short. He's got very short sentences and then it gets longer again. It was really an interesting read. You suffered 1,000 deaths only to be cast back into the depths, falling, tumbling down the dead brambles, cloaked in tatters and shambles. Again, he's captured a new skull with every fall. He's captured some of the detail in the illustration so beautifully. The skulls at the base, the brambles, the tattered cloak, the wings. I really like Jewish Juggernaut's interpretation of the prompt. I really did enjoy this very much, so thank you for that. So, okay, who do we have next?
We have Selena, and she has a SoundCloud.
Hot dog. And it's a collab between Selena and Arcana.
Okay, great. All right, so I'm going to play it.
Oh, please do.
As ocean waves surge distant shores in floods of rolling systematic surrender, each dutifully ensuing the wake of another, succumbing to calls for obedient compliance.
Across arid terrain, traverse weary treads, each leaden step aligned in conflicting camaraderie, through a nebulous nightmare of a bleak, boundless voyage, where each sigh is swallowed by the wandering wind.
Such is the journey of hordes that follow, marching along paths meandering to obscurity, among heaving tides of submissive shadows, destined to forever submerge in the crowd. Blindly marching in regimented rows, they move as automatons to silent heartbeats, manipulated like puppets by unseen strings, dancing in unison to a wearisome waltz.
Somewhere inside, a voice of freedom calls out to break free these invisible chains that bind, taunting fragmented dreams and ailing aspirations which these restless souls relentlessly repine. Battalions trapped in grey stone prisons, impassionately sensing a break in ranks, as from crumbling edifices of past existence emerges the last dying breath of human spirit.
Screaming defiance to engulfing masses, escaping from the mundane, monotonous dirge, carving a new course towards unseen horizons, to witness clear skies where freedom flies.
Terrific SoundCloud. Are you there, Greg?
I am, yes.
Ah, they do just a superb SoundCloud. I don't know how they are able to read together so beautifully. They always do such a very fine job. I'm always pleased when they send in a SoundCloud. What did you think of this piece of poetry?
Well, it played out like a movie in my head. You know, you could picture all this as you read, as it was read. You know, you could see these soulless creatures being not puppeteered by an unseen force. You know, as they march along and through the mundane, and then you can feel that spirit breaking free and seeking that light of the skies, clear skies where freedom flies. You know, just an amazing, amazing SoundCloud and a fabulous write as well.
Agreed. I am quite impressed with their how they have taken the selected prompt, which is they featured at the top of their piece, and have just taken it bit by bit, just brush stroke by brush stroke, and reassembled it in words. This is truly a word painting that they have done here. I mean, they captured me from the first stanza. As ocean waves surge distant shores in floods of rolling systematic surrender, each dutifully ensuing the wake of another, succumbing to calls for obedient compliance. Beautiful description. The alliteration and the assonance in this is wonderful. But when they start, such is the journey of hordes that follow, marching along paths, meandering of obscurity, among heaving tides of submissive shadows, destined to forever to submerge in the crowd. They've here blindly marching in regimented rows. They move as automatons to silent heartbeats, manipulated like puppets by unseen strings, dancing in unison to a wearisome waltz. That captures the spirit of that illustration, the artwork. How there is this endless row of sameness of the same figures, stone-like, and there's one breaking free, and with the blue sky above him, and what they have done. With this imagery, the battalions trapped in gray stone prisons, and then the last one screaming defiance to engulfing masses, and there's the one trying to break free. This is a stunning piece of writing. I hate them both. I wish to hell I'd written it. Seriously, this is a seriously superb piece of writing. The vocabulary, the wordsmithing, the use of language to paint the word picture that they've created is just stunning. So I thank you, Stelina, and our contribution to the contest. So let's continue on.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. So I've got the next poem posted. This is called Life Goal by Thomas B. I once was a drudge, no more, no less, blessed to be employed by the greater consciousness that ensures freedoms are not confused with license, and we are given enough sense to know our place and work without haste. Steady is the hand that guides us. Blessed are we to be without question, blind to confusion, and ready to trudge daily to the ultimate shift of our belonging. I did not ask for awakening. Light casts no shadows, pulls me from darkness, awakens a keening. Out of my shell, I feel as if a spell is broken, a shell torn asunder. Pull the coat tighter, shudder at betrayal, faster. I can no longer deny this inner cry. The art of life no longer abides to be denied. I am free. End poem. Hello, Bobby.
Great read. I'm doing it again. Great read. Thank you. You did a great job on that. I was delighted to see an entry from Thomas. His writing is always so profound and philosophically deep and layered. And this, of course, follows that style. He's taken the illustration that has some very gray, trench-coated people passing one another, and from the foreground or the back of one emerges a figure bathed in light, breaking free from this trench-coated stoic figure. So he really has painted an amazing word picture. Light casts no shadows, pulls me from darkness, awakening a keening. Out of my shell, I feel as if a spell is broken, a shell torn asunder. He's done such a marvelous job of capturing the detail in this. I have to say, overall, the pieces that we've had so far, that the use of language and vocabulary this evening is really impressive. What did you think of this piece?
I agree with you wholeheartedly on everything you said. You know, is definitely layered and deep. You know, it's got an amazing imagery as well. Light casts no shadow, pulls me from darkness, awakening a keening. Out of my shell, I feel as if a spell is broken, a shell torn asunder. I mean, you know, that's really what the picture says, and Buddy captured that quite beautifully with his words. So, fantastic, right? Thank you for sharing, Thomas.
And we're seeing, like I said, we're seeing words like keening, which is an act of wailing and grief for a dead person. And in one of the previous words or previous pieces, we saw the word bellicose. And so we're seeing our writers are really flexing a lot of their vocabularies tonight. And it's I dearly love that because I always learn something. So let's continue on. Who do we have next?
Okay, I've got the next poem up there if you're ready.
Oh, I am? Aphasiana. And she has given us a piece called Rocky Existence. Ideas circle my head as uncracked geodes, unpredictable even to my volcanic mind, though thought bubbles surrounded by love's lava, life leaving minerals as experience flows. I pluck one from orbit, wonder at its bland exterior, unsure if the effort of extraction is worth the mystery center. Sometimes a deep delve discovers vibrancy at full volume. Other times it crumbles, hollow of any value. The asteroid field of consciousness grows heavier as I wait for the courage to test my worth. End poem. And she's provided us with the prompt that the picture of the prompt that she selected. And what did you think of Aphasiana's piece?
Well, it was wonderful. I mean, she really did a great job of capturing the spirit of that rite. I mean, of that picture in her rite. You know, it ideals circle my head as uncracked geodes, unpredictable, even to my volcanic mind. Thought bubbles surrounded by love's lava, life leaving minerals as experience flows. You know, it's just a fascinating take on the prompt. I mean, I wouldn't have thought about it as thought bubbles. And I really like that, you know, some of them bear fruit and some are empty and crumble, which is like so much of life and our thoughts. And I also enjoyed that final stanza. The asteroid field of consciousness grows heavier as I wait for the courage to test my worth. Just a beautiful, beautiful poem on the prompt. So great job. Excellent read, Bobby.
Thank you. I agree. I love it. It's wonderfully imaginative. looking at these stones like ideas, and almost like in a cartoon fashion, like a thought bubble. But then of one thought bubble, you have a constellation of them floating around the figure's head, and they pluck one like we pluck a thought from our mind. I pluck one wonder at its bland exterior, unsure of if the effort of extraction is worth the mystery center. And that is a geode. You never know what you're going to find. And I love what she's done in terms of her analysis and her writing of the prompt. I really like her take on it. I never would have thought of it that way, but the way she's applied the minerals as to thought is a wonderful analogy. So thank you, Faziana, for a terrific piece. Well, let's continue on.
Okay, so I have the next one up. This is by Gerald Green, and it's called Disruption. And he has a SoundCloud, so I will play that.
Oh, excellent.
Disruptor, written in red by Gerald Green. However fragile is the man who contemplates his worth and values what he sees as naught, it's what's inside that differentiates. He might be clay with cracks and blemishes, unable to carry burdens of the world, incapable of lifting the weak, unsuited for pushing against the grain. Perhaps his uniform is undistinguished. No medals of honor from the battlefield, no insignias of rank or ribbons of glory, just a drabbiness that you would scorn. His face is covered with a mask of shyness, never seeking recognition, content to walk in his own path, alone and distant from the madding mob. You would not recognize the hidden value. You might despise this creature in the shadow, ignore his presence in your company, scorn his attempts for intercourse of substance. But he is the one with fire in his belly, the one who knows his purpose, the one of few to change the world, who understands his duty and is faithful to his trust. Resolution is his mantra, driving with a force. No one understands his perturbation, disrupting with no authority, changing our future with his inner heat.
What a marvelous SoundCloud. I'm in complete agreement with Pam and Phil when they say that they really love it when the author sends the poem their own reading in with the SoundCloud. I mean, there's nothing that compares to it. And he has such a marvelous reading voice. What did you think of his piece?
Yeah, I mean, his SoundCloud was amazing, and
yes.
I really enjoy it when people do read their own work, you know, because they can put inflections on words and in places that you wouldn't have thought to have done so yourself. But it was an amazing SoundCloud, and I really enjoyed the take on the prompt, you know, painting this creature who is, you know, not very presentable, shy, you know, kind of morose creature, and he's got the fire in his belly. He's the one that's going to change the world, and I thought it was just a fantastic take on the prompt. You know, it really brings to life the character in the prompt quite mm-hmm. beautifully. So I thought it was just a fascinating take on the prompt.
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly. How he has portrayed with his writing. The figure in the illustration, he might be clay with cracks and blemishes, unable to carry burdens of the world, incapable of lifting the weak, unsuited for pushing against the grain. But then he goes, this, and I like this interpretation. His face is covered with a mask of shyness, never seeking recognition, content to walk his own path alone and distant from the maddening mob. And you would not recognize the hidden value. But then he goes on to say that this creature has a fire in his belly. He's one with a fire in his belly, one who knows his purpose, one of few who changed the world. And I think he says something similar early on. But the opening stanza, however fragile is the man who contemplates his works and values what he sees as not. It's what's inside that differentiates. I mean, that in itself could stand alone as a poem. I mean, just the way he's captured the essence of the artwork. And resolution is his mantra, driving with a force no one understands his perturbation. There we are again. We've got another word, perturbation. Love it. we've really got a really eloquent description of what he sees in this prompt as a man who is underestimated, shy, nondescript, yet driven by a force that emerges from him as a fire, and it's just as it does in the illustration. A terrific piece, Gerald Green. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. And for the SoundCloud. Well, who do we have next?
Next we have Glimpse by My Angels 3. And I will give this a read.
Okay.
Okay, so I wish it was possible to rip out these eyes to play back their scenes to you. If you could see the world as I see it for just a moment, you, the mesmerizing lead in an otherwise bland reality, you allow your imperfections to noose around your beautiful existence when you should wear them as badges of hard-fought honor. Apply them like war paint. Let them glimmer and shine with pride and without prejudice. For those sparkling flaws are you. The you, you are me. You are to me. Give me your lumps and scars. Let me kiss and caress them first. Let me read your journey in the bumps and blemishes of your skin. Let me hold your flinches and quivers and still your trembling trust. Allow me to bathe in that soul, which others only ever see in glimpses and shadows. Let me pat away your tears with my own cheeks, so we share the pain as it falls from your oceanic eyes. Our noses clash slightly as I press my face into yours. Our hair flickers and dances together as it meets. Let our touching chests syncopate our mourning hearts to be together as lovers or warriors. Your tears are my tears, your pain my pain. Your rage and fury boils in my own heart and soul. Allow the burdening load to fall away from your body as my bones bear your heavy woes. My heat will melt the shame from your pores into mine. Regrets and mistakes dissolve to nothing as our breaths rise and fall in tandem. Cling to me for as long as you need. Grip my hands and wrap yourself in me until you believe in yourself enough to own the world again. Then let me stand beside you in awe, revel in your grace and majesty. In the blink of an eye, ready to burn in fire, or die by your side, or pull you back into my solace to heal one more time. End poem.
Outstanding read. Outstanding read. I was listening to you and I was reading this. This is a deeply romantic, deeply passionate piece. This is one person cleaving to another wholeheartedly. With their flaws and telling them they're going to be there for them no matter what, Let me hold your flinches and quivers and still your trembling trust. Allow me to bathe in that soul which others only ever see in glimpses and shadows. Let me read your journey and the bumps and blemishes of your skin. You allow your imperfections to noose around your beautiful existence when you should wear them as badges of hard-fought honor. Apply them like war paint. Let them glimmer and shine with pride and without prejudice, for those sparkling flaws are you. You are to me. This is a beautiful piece. Like I said, deeply romantic, very passionate, very soulful. This is one person just glimpsing the soul of another and telling them what beauty they see in them, regardless of what the external shows. I really like this piece. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if the world could see through eyes like this, it'd be a better place, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, accepting everybody for who they are and not what they look like. And I thought it was beautiful, you know. I really liked the stand by their side through fire and through toil and being there to offer solace in the time of need of healing. And I really enjoyed it. It was fascinating as well as deeply engaging and powerful to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So well done.
And I cannot look at a poem these days without thinking of Weaver's comment. Weaver Dreams, she really likes last stanzas. She really hangs a lot on closings, and I always look at them a second time. In the blink of an eye, ready to burn in fire or die by your side or pull you back into my solace to heal one more time. What a beautiful closing. And I have to say, in attention to detail, and My Angels 3 has given us a very lovely montage of the prompts that she wrote to at the head of her piece. So a lovely creation of artwork there, putting together those particular prompts to go with a superb piece of writing. So thank you, Angels 3, for that terrific piece. And who have we got next?
Okay, we have The Mail Boyer by Peter Solway.
I think this requires a male voice. I hope you don't mind.
No. Okay, so this is The Mail Boyer by Peter Solway. John Berger, back from wherever, blokes, the master race, still in industry, the colonial arts of master status, junior's womb desire, mothers and grandmas, going back to big universal bang, daddy, back from the pub, return with Christie's catalog, tube roll, noble, phallus seeking birth, ejaculate, articulate man on the moon. Sonnets in deep space, craters to flood with light. Dumb gulls crying. J.K. Ungian individuation. Come home. Keen transmission. Club of cigar and port. Idle association. Surf on barren headland. Sharp focus. Life and death. Through bursting glass. Brazen lighthouse, fireproof prick to sight, halt further murder, drowning of neighbors, nature's depth charged, mother navigator, Armageddon's octopus, U-boat of lean fathers, all sweating, clean shaven, snaps on special occasions, here's to Cox, fascist men resting on the sonic bottom, women's time to come, revenge of the Erber glands, lethal ovums, undisputed, latest opinions, for her, a woman, Polish men needing serious circumcisions, Marxist correction, Trotsky too, pencil sharpened, Rita, along with Mary Wollstonecraft, Joan of Arc, Miss Noah, and Arc, all overheated members of the opposing sex, even Mary and Isis and Lilith, big tits. Eve with multiple thumbprints. Adam illiterate. Dad with big mouth, proclaiming Yankee scam, forever dictating some sovereign perfection of abuse. We, the menstrual, undersigned, bring back the penal punishment, laughs and castration, sing sweet songs, all patriarchs gone to other accommodation, male fees to F us over no longer. We've got cucumbers, watermelons, pensions for unmarried mothers of all religions, and home.
Excellent read. You persevered through that very well. Peter Solway, I have not seen his writing in a while. He used to be quite a fan of neutron bombs contests, neutron bomb in my show that we used to do once upon a time. He used to write in, and as many times as I asked that man to include the number of the prompt he wrote to in his AN was as many times as he didn't. And
yeah.
I liked, and I'm glad to see that Peter is consistent. He has also not put the number of the prompt in here on this one. So way to go, Peter, consistency being the hobgoblin of little minds. I have to confess, I marvel at Peter's writing. It escapes description. It eludes description. It is complex, it is layered, and it is completely incomprehensible to me. So with that, I appreciate it because clearly he puts a lot of thought into it. It's complex, but as many times as I've tried to read the man's, I walk away just as confused as when I started.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about Peter's writing?
Well, I mean, you know, it's definitely descriptive. Dungal crying, J.K. Ungian. Individuation, come home, keen translation, club of cigar and port and idle association, surf on the barren headland, sharp focus, life and death, through verse and glass, brazen lighthouse, fireproof prick to sight, halt, further murder, drowning of neighbors. It's definitely a fascinating write. Filled with incredible imagery, and I mean, you can feel the the message to me is women are done with men, and they're taking over the world. So
thank you.
Accommodation, male fees to F us over no longer. We've got cucumbers, watermelons, pensions for unmarried mothers of all religions. So that's my thought on it anyway.
You are wiser than I. There's a definite thread of genderification and of sexuality and sexual references in there. Some positive, some negative. You've given me a view of it that I never would have had. So I appreciate your contribution. In your comments to this, because I will look at Peter's writing a little bit differently from now on, but I still find it terribly confusing because this is a man who is wildly imaginative, and his writing mirrors that wonderfully diverse imagination that he has. Unfortunately, I'm a little thick, and I don't really get it. With that, we're going to put Peter away. Thank you, Peter, and move along to something that maybe I will understand.
Okay, we have Doom and Bloom by Bill Schiller, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Oh, you're being too kind to me. This is a brevity. All righty. We have Doom and Bloom. Medusa's sister traded snakes for sticks. Bitter branches dared desecrate her face like fish drawn to baited hook. She killed any attracted to look upon her form. death followed ever faithful from where her seeds were born. Should you find me with my family, you now know why we're dead beneath a laughing tree. End poem. Okay, well, that's 5 and 6. Let me scroll back up there. Okay. We've got, interesting. Five is the face of a woman, only her hair is are branches. And in the center of her forehead is a hollow with an owl peeking out. So he's likened the branches to Medusa's snake. Wonderful, wonderful parallel that he's drawn there. And the prompt six is almost it looks like a the head and shoulders of a satyr with horns, but he's got his skin is like bark, and his he's got leaves sprouting from his horns, and he's in profile, clearly in a contemplative frame of mind here. But interesting what he's done with this in this brevity, doom and gloom. It's bitter branches dare desecrate her face like fish drawn to a baited hook. Great lines. I really, really, she killed any attracted to look upon her form. Interesting that he's drawn a parallel to Medusa with that particular image. I like that. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. You know, it's definitely, I really like the twist at the end. Should you find me with my family, you now know why we're dead beneath a laughing tree. You know, it really captures the essence of Medusa and all that she entailed, which was death. And death followed ever faithful from where her seeds were born. Just a fascinating poem with great intent, expressed in such few words. So great job.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I'm looking at the board, and it seems to be you and I making comments, and I'm surprised with as much participation as we had in this contest that we don't have anyone out there on the board. That's surprising. Usually we've got someone out there dialing in. So I guess it's I guess we get to have the place to ourselves tonight. So who do we have next?
We have Fabrice D, which is Tonight in the Dark Where Roars the Anathor.
Oh, yes. May I take this one, please? I like his work, if you don't mind. Okay.
No problem.
Tonight in the dark room where roars the Anathor, the great fire trapped within the flaming brick exalts its ardor and blows its magic to brass that enamels make richer than gold. And under my brush is born, lives, runs, and soars these monstrous people of the mythology, the centaurs, Pan, Sphinx, Chimera, the orgy, blood of a Gorgon, Pegasus, Chrysaor. Near Penthesilea shall I paint Achilles' cries, Orpheus' open arms towards the exiled bride. To unyielding hinges of the infernal gate, Hercules striking down the doge of the avenue, or the virgin writhing on the cavern's threshold, her horrified body sniffed out by the dragons? End poem. Interesting. He ends it with a question. We have something very thick with mythology here. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed his use of mythology in his write. It was definitely engaging throughout. Exalts its ardor and blows its magic to brass that enamels makes richer than gold. That's fascinating right there, brass being richer than gold. And I really enjoyed near Penthesilea shall I paint Achilles' cries, Orpheus' open arms toward the exiled bride, to unyielding hinges of the infernal gate. Hercules striking down the Doge of the Avernus. Yeah, just a fascinating, right? Beautifully done.
Yeah.
And well read, Bob.
I want to point out that in his author's notes, he's given us information here. Anathor is a furnace, stove, or a still. Penthesilea is Amazonian queen in Greek mythology, the daughter of Ares and Otreia, and the sister of Hippolyta. And she assisted Troy in the Trojan War, during which she was killed by Achilles. So she was a woman warrior. And I looked it up, and there's some very interesting writing about her in mythology. So he's really and this is to prompt 7. Okay, prompts. Oh my goodness, is the same prompt that Thomas B. wrote to. I believe it was Thomas B. The figure with the mask and the flames emerging from its chest. Same prompt.
Wow.
It's interesting. Yeah, I once in a while, there's one prompt that everyone seems to really focus and zero in on. And it's interesting the different interpretations you get, like the one that Faziana wrote to. I know there's another piece that goes to that prompt. So it's going to be interesting to see what that author has to say. So, all right.
Yeah.
So you commented, right? Oh, we are moving along rather briskly. And, oh, my goodness. There's a name I haven't seen in a while. Poetic Picasso. Lord love him.
Yes.
All right. Well, this definitely
is the
male
Eternal Star with the Positive Sound Cloud, so I will play that.
Oh, all right. Even better.
Of the darkness of the night, there is a bright constellation of the sparkling stars, seen only through the magical lens of your exotic eyes. You stare into the depth of my dalliance and romance. Amidst the starry night, you are a moon struck by my guiding light, taking you to the furthest realm of the cosmos upon my heat, where you ride the celestial tale of our powerful passion, while we plunge our bodies into the secrets of a black hole, emerging then as a luminous supernova created by our desires. Your hair is the onyx shade of space waiting for my caress. You are blinded by the beauty of my enrapturing reflection, for no light could shine more in the darkness than mine. I just want you to see the light of my impassioned glow. I could touch your lips with a stellified kiss to awaken your longing. Release your lust from the cold moon and ignite suddenly its central sun till we make love beneath the canopy of the erotic universe. With the light of our fusion succumbs to the fireball of our seduction. Eres la oscuridad y yo soy la luz. You are the darkness, and I am the light. Déjame ser tu estrella nocturna. Let me be your nocturnal star. Look for me tonight, after the twilight. in the poem.
As always, a great SoundCloud. And I have to say that on my on the board, when I always when I do it up before the show, the program board, at the end of my little write up at the top, I write on topic. Pre writes are welcome. I'm delighted to see that someone actually did that. And Frank actually saw that and gave us one of his on topic pre writes. So I appreciate that very much. And his pre-write is actually, I looked at the prompt that he's referenced, which is prompt, which was, by the way, the same prompt that had to do with all the nastiness going with kissing. The same prompt, but my goodness, 180 degrees diametrically opposed to what the previous reading. This is the same prompt of the man and the woman on fire kissing. So I really enjoyed this. I'm glad he found a pre-write that fitted with this prompt so nicely. I've gone to the wrong tab. Amidst the starry night, you are moonstruck by my guiding light, where you ride the celestial tail of our powerful passion. We plunge our bodies into the secrets of a black hole. It is spot on. So what did you think of Frank's contribution?
Yeah, this was in a quote prompt contest by Osho that Lee Wilder and myself ran, and he won the gold medal in that.
Yeah, I see that.
Congratulations him on that. And you know, I mean, the poem is it's sensual, it's deep, you know, it's dark and it's beautiful at the same time. You know, it's cosmic and ethereal. You know, it really is a deep and passionate rite, full of sensuality and seduction. So, great job.
That's a great way of putting it too. And the cosmic flavor of it certainly fits well with the prompt that he selected. So, and I'm glad he made a note of that prompt on there. So it really, really dovetails nicely with his piece. So thank you, Frank, for contributing that. I really appreciate being able to share that. And it was very deserving of a gold. I'm glad you guys gave that to him. So what have we got next?
We have Pebble Thought by A.R. Mundell.
Okay. I like to read her work, if you don't mind.
No.
Okay. And here's the same prompt that Afasiana referenced. So we have pebbled thought, pebbled shadows, studying a listless rock heavy in the hand. Its sharper edges burrow through it, canyoning me bit by bit, wearing down my good intentions till I let it sit. The notion just refuses flight. I've asked it how. I've asked it why. I've coaxed it gently to my skies, but it just falls away. End poem. Your thoughts?
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I enjoyed the poem. You know, it's short, but it's sweet and to the point. My pebbled thoughts orbit my peak, cliff base cast in pebbled shadows, studying a listless rock heavy in the hand. And then I enjoyed how it canyons the holder bit by bit, wearing them down with good intentions. I let it sit. You know, when you can't beat it, you just join it. So I think that's what happened there. And I've asked it how, I've asked it why. I've coaxed it gently with my guys, but it just falls away. Yeah, amazing metaphor there. Beautifully done.
Thank you. I agree. It is similar in its references to Afasiana's writing, but it It shows the picture in a different way. Cliff face cast in pebbled shadows, studying a listless rock. Its sharper edges burrow through it, canyoning me bit by bit, wearing down my good intentions till I let it sit. A great brevity. I like what she's done with reference to the imagery. So thank you, Amy. Really appreciate that. And it's unusual. Usually Amy doesn't write brevities. So I'm glad she contributed this. You know, I'm looking ahead here, and we're getting down to it's only like 16 minutes after 11. We go till 12. We're running out of poetry. Do you believe this?
Yeah.
What are we going to do when we get through the last two? I could sing and dance, but that would just be horrifying. Okay, let's tap the last two, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do from there. I've never had this situation before.
Yeah, we also got three with Ben Hartz. So, but I've got the next poem up. This is called The Pagans by Sandy G. The Pagans. They sprint through life grinning instinct. Sorry, ignoring instinct. Lemmings running toward extinction, abandoning intuition, preferring pagan pleasures. Shielding masks are scaled inside, aside. Show the naked lies inside, like quicksand in a swamp. Truth in darkness hides. Lost children of the night hide in limbs of leafless trees, inhaling all, avoiding guilt, adding links to leaden chains, expelling angst in fetid breaths, ghosting to a fortress gate, nudging all the truth inside, building masks to hide behind. Disruption, disquietude, and dismay break the door of false resolve. New masks are spit in place. Rituals survive. Relationships dissolved. End poem.
Well read. Nicely done. It's got an interesting beginning. They sprint through life ignoring instinct. Lemmings running toward extinction, abandoning intuition, preferring pagan pleasures. The content, it has some good alliteration in here also. Expelling angst in fetid breaths, ghosting to a fortress gate, nudging all the truth inside, building masks to hide behind. I really like that. I think it really captures the prompt. I like the author's take on the prompt, Sandy G's. What did you think of this piece?
I thought it was wonderful. As humans, we wear all kinds of masks, and I think this captured that quite brilliantly. Masks, rituals survive, but relationships dissolve because you're always changing your mask, so you're always moving on from relationship to relationship. And I think such is the human nature in a lot of cases, you know, to hide behind masks and pretend to be something that you're not. And I enjoyed it, I really enjoyed that first stanza where they sprint through life ignoring instinct, lemmings running toward extinction, abandoning intuition, preferring pagan pleasures. Very involved and deeply penned, so excellent job.
I agree. I like the interpretation of the prompt and how it has how the author has pointed out that we all do hide behind our masks. Excuse me. And we have one left. How horrifying. Okay, let's pull it out there.
We have two with Ben Hartz.
I'm sorry?
We have two with Ben Hartz.
Oh, good.
Okay, that one's
well,
up.
That was a last-minute one. I was glad to see it. The Wall and the Bridge, A Conversation by Teresa S., another writer that we haven't seen too much from. I like it when writers that we have our regulars, which I'm always delighted to see. I'm always glad to see also, excuse me, I'm going to put myself on mute for a second.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely good to have new and regular writers. So
it is, and I like the fact that Jewish Juggernaut on his page has only, and I'm assuming it's a man, has only 7 pieces, but is already writing to our contest. That is delightful. Okay, we have The Wall and the Bridge: A Conversation. A wall I have built all around myself to keep me warm and safe within. The wall must come down. One brick at a time. I will remove the bricks. Yes, one brick at a time will be enough. The bricks from my wall, the wall that surrounds to keep me safe and to keep others out. Take apart, I will. One brick at a time. Yes, one brick at a time will be enough. Now the bricks, they layeth all around my feet, all around my feet. So let me now start. A golden bridge to build, a bridge between them and me, a golden bridge that others may cross, a bridge that gives this gentle essence within me some space, a golden bridge that I may cross to greet my tribe. But the wall you saw, it turned into a golden bridge. Yes, the wall, it has transformed, and all in the blink of an eye, into a golden bridge. End poem. Now, I like this piece, and I wish to heck that Teresa had shared which prompt she had written it to, because it's a wonderful piece, very deeply philosophical. I like the refrain. I like the style of it. One brick at a time will be enough. It lends emphasis to the thought of the deconstruction of the wall and using the same materials to construct a bridge. Going from negative to positive, I really enjoyed the message that this poem had. What did you think?
Well, immediately Pink Floyd came to my mind. Tear down the wall, tear down the wall.
Oh yes, yeah.
Because I mean, we all build walls around ourselves, you know, to keep the world out, to keep ourselves protected, and whether they're needed or not. You know, after they're built is another story. And to find yourself, you know, being redeemed by a golden bridge is a wonderful thing so that you can meet your tribe. I thought that was fascinating and definitely a powerful poem on tearing down the wall and bridging yourself out to accept the world around you. So I thought that was beautiful.
I did too. I agree. It's a very, very affirmative message. Yeah, we have, as Ben's not called in, so we can put his up, and I know he's rather lengthy, so I will take it for the reading if Ben's not going to call in.
Okay, sure.
So,
yeah, it's definitely lengthy.
It is. I I'm going to take the liberty of reading the author's note first because it definitely has much to say. I'm still scrolling. Okay. A week's worth of pent-up poetry just poured onto the page. He says, Ekphrasis is always my favorite. Love you guys. I thought after last time's epic war poem, let's give love and life a spin. And his prompt, he's prompt 11, 13, 14, 15, 18, 19, 22, and 28. So away we go, Ben Hart. Full June's full moon beheld. 1:21:48. Mother Moon whole will be beautiful and will shine strong tonight, she said at 21:48. I will keep an eye on her for you then, I replied 2 minutes later. But I wonder if Mother feels the same looking back at Lover Earth's every mortal soldier. Because beauty, birth to be held, I never knew if they too could be beholden. And if so, what they thought of themselves. She thought of herself as a collective and could have told her that though my head is heck, it is also gathering. of all my precious iterations. God planted the seed with the garden I created, and there is peace in numbers. But where does it end? Where are you? Just you again, because that's who I care for. So wherever you went, be a beacon, be steady in the sandstorm, because according to her, Mother Moon was us, and that's why we felt lost, forever orbiting our other half, but never to touch. And I know why, because love like this, never to rust, never to rest, it would destroy everything. It's too much. And still, I cannot walk away, because I'd rather perish in the flames of heartbreak with one last pair of eyes heaven cast than never look up again, because I'm afraid to see the past and all that I let outlast me. Two, coming or going. Where dare you go? If I said I had every intention to venture into every possible unknown, into the maw, would you follow? If nowhere was home and nothing we owned and owed, if life was slow, waiting to see the love we sowed grow, happy to share every crop with crows, if all you had us, would those be your happiest tomorrows? I hope so. Three, someday all will be well and will be new iterations of ancient truths, angels healing hell, the watchers on the roofs, and love will be reprieved, the temperate thaw of grief and the youth we put on hold, and the war will still be fought after armistice behind childhood bedroom doors by they who were dismissed, and trauma shall be our severance, because beauty is pain endured every day again, and scars are just the brush strokes on the carnal mural that in the end tells God the story of everywhere we went, that despite our age, we still died young, and our every victory against the empty page shall be echoed out in song. Anyone ever knew another dawn, and no questions asked when they let slip that this shall be their last. And if you got everything to lose, then only then she is muse. Carve her name into your heart. Only then death will be art, the museum. Breathe life into me, and then pull it out of my lungs, into my blood, my limbs, my guts. Kill the rust, my skin within, kill the rot, resist the withering linger, win. Two faces, my Midas eyes, share different spaces of the same mind, and the borders blur sometimes. But then again, the men that drew them were just playing pretend, and every elation is friends coming back, only to turn out they never knew you were lost or how little you had. And you told me once, don't miss me when I'm gone, though I should have said it then before you went, that I'd never let you go. And you counted the steps between us aloud, but everywhere you went there was too much sound, and you lost count the moment you realized you had looped around. Hello again, you said, and in your eyes I could tell you didn't mean to return. But still, I was glad to have you back. Hello again. And here's me hoping sobriety isn't so bad or less sad, because I have a fucking brand, a name to uphold, the martyr morose, the pugilist blue, the chosen one poet who gets a whole life to love you. And not one day will he be cold, because he got to know absolution true with you for a muse. And he stood everything to lose, and in the emptiness of his eye found a museum with a million rooms, and watched a corps de ballet which swept you away when you saw every swan was just another iteration of the same something true. And he thought of you, June's full moon. 6, the promise. I know it aches now, but release, reprieve, and relief. They hear you calling. They are coming. I know it's heavy now, but you will fly soon. And love, it will not only be numbing, but move you. That I promise, I swear. And wherever you are headed, you will find an eagle upon every empty somewhere. I've got 6 twice. I think he means 7. 7, the weight. If you were not the wildest wind to ever burn my eyes, swift sunrise after the longest night, I would never have known love. Because you, there is nothing beyond. But somehow, all I am is both too much and not enough. I didn't mind wait, though I thought it would be less lonely, that I would have done me good. My dear, why didn't you just say you weren't coming? I would have understood. 7, Lola. I wonder if she knows that however far into the cruet, still the world, the camera casts her. Her eyes are still running away with us. A storm undying, doors that open onto a vibrant, warm, and more loving world than the one she brightens. I wonder if she feels lonely, always standing outside, looking in on us, huddled together in fright, and that we don't hear you calling. Come out, come out. It's just that we don't know how. You're so in motion, yet the only clear thing in an endless blur would be the whole world could be beautiful. It would still have nothing on her. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I mean, that's such a deep, deep, powerful poem on, you know, love and relationships and longing and distance and coming together and the beauty that somebody holds that's bigger than the whole world around you, which is a powerful statement. And I really thought it was beautiful. You can feel the love in this poem that he fights for. And, and here's me hoping sobriety isn't so bad or less sad because I have a fucking brand, a name to uphold, the Marta Morose, the pugilist blue, the chosen one poet who gets a whole life to love you. And not one day will he be cold because he got to know absolution true with you for a muse. I mean, that's just beautiful. And I really enjoyed the whole poem and his artwork at the top.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful job.
Yes, it is deeply, it is profound. It's deeply emotional. It speaks of love in very intimate details emotionally, how one person affects another and how their absence affects them and how they feel about themselves and how they don't realize how they affect others. Like you said, I'm looking for the line. It was, are you the muse? Oh, yes, here it is. It says, when they let slip that this shall be their last, and if you've got everything to lose, only then will she amuse. Carve her name into your heart. Only then will death be art. That is, it's very, it's like I said, it's romantic. It's very deeply emotional, very complex discussion of emotions and love here. My dear, why didn't you just say you weren't coming? I would have understood. I think of all of it, the weight. If you were not the wildest wind to ever burn my eyes, a swift sunrise after the longest night, I would never have known love. I mean, that in itself could stand alone. But that whole piece, because you, there is nothing beyond. But somehow, all I am is both too much and not enough. I didn't mind the wait, though I had hoped it would be less lonely and that would have done me good. My dear, why didn't you just say you weren't coming? I would have understood. And there's a very subtle internal rhyme in here, too, that it pops in and out. So this is a beautiful piece. Of course, then again, Ben Hart wrote it. His work is fascinating, and it's always got a layer of it's very layered, very dense, very complex. I really appreciate it, and I'm so glad he enjoys our contests because we get one of these wonderful pieces every time we put a contest out there. So, okay, my friend. Well, we have about 25 minutes left. Shall we do a duet? I could sing "I'd Rather Be Blue Thinking of You Than Be Happy with Somebody Else." No, I don't think that. Somehow, if I can't, you know, if you can't see the performance, it lacks something. Okay.
Right.
Have you written something lately?
No, I haven't actually. But I have one from April I can put in.
Well, yeah, share it with us. Share it with us.
Okay, this is called "All the Colors." It's by Gray Eye Smith. You are all the colors and every possible shade in between. You are the gates of heaven. You are a black abyss and fields of verdant green. You are the most magical thing these eyes have ever seen. You are the gift of life. I will carry you across death. I feel you whisper in each and every breath. You are love and poem.
Well, that's beautiful. Did you write that for a contest?
No.
Just kind of came rushing out of your pen, huh?
It did, yeah.
I have that every once in a while. I'm looking for a piece in my collection here that, considering that the artist tends to like, he says he's fascinated by fire. And I think I have an early one of my writings here that if I can, found it. Okay. I wrote this 3 years ago, and I think this is it kind of fits along with some of the imagery that Thomas Coperta has given us. Let me grab the link, and I'll post it. There we go. Paste. There we go. Okay. And this is called Sensuous Incendiary. I got a couple of golds on this one. Sensuous Incendiary. Scorpio, water sign that derives its strength from the psychic, emotional realm. Her gaze, magnetic, mesmerizing, she has lured him into her arms, ensnared by sweet feverishness. In measured, controlled doses, her body speaks of passion and pleasure, bestowed by her internal, unseeing self, her private language of sensuality, his to decode, decrypt, translate. He hungers for the opiate of her love, of her narcotic desire for him. Her presence is an elixir, her touch a restorative, her taste an addiction. Without it, insatiate, famished. He is her closely guarded secret, the man with enchanted hands. He, the explorer, journeys to her sultry gates of paradise, welcomed to the once darkly veiled mystery. Waves of energy and desire rise off her like summer heat off pavement. Drawn to the heat, he receives her, her nearness, an unchecked blaze, and he ignites incineration imminent. He draws near, her heat is now torrid, the water sign in alluring inferno, can only quench heat with more heat, fervor with fervor, fire with fire. The conflagration grows, both are consumed. Sensuous incendiary has devoured all, but his phoenix will arise from the smoldering ashes. When a knock at the door, or with a knock at the gate, her heat the intensity will beckon again. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And I liked it. You know, it's deeply passionate and sensual throughout, and powerfully engaging as well. Waves of energy and desire rise off her like summer heat off pavement. Drawn to the heat, he receives her nearness, an unchecked flame, and he ignites incineration, imminent. You know, when somebody's so hot, they burn you up. That's a powerful thing. So, beautiful read and an excellent write, Bobby.
I'm sorry?
I was just going to ask what you wrote it for.
I wrote about 3 years ago, I think, for a contest. I think it was one of Liu's contests, and I resubmitted it a couple of times, and I think even for one of your contests too, because I see your best sensual, yeah. So, but I with the visual imagery in the artwork by Copera. And you'll see this again in the next contest that I'll post tomorrow. He really does feature fire a lot. In his writing, if you read it, you'll see he's fascinated with it. And you know, you can see that there is a parallel to that, like you said, that the intensity of the emotion there. So. So have you got anything else for us that you'd like to share? I don't care how old it is. If it's, you know, if you think it fits into the program, please share it with us, because everything old is new again. We don't hear for a while. We don't hear. Yeah.
I searched fire in my poetry, and I came up with Shadow Fires. This is called Shadow Fires by Gray Eye Smith. In the twilight of my darkness, I evoke your deepest desires and whisper into your mist, calling you to play in the heat of my shadow fires, where the fears that hide inside you coalesce and abide. Taunting, I circle as you cower, blanket overhead. All your walls will crumble as I find you in your bed. The air surrounding you fills with my caress. Exposed, your flesh is naked as my claws undress. Pheromones exude, inducing wanton trance. I take your heart in mine as we begin our dark romance. Probing every crevice, I will leave nothing to happenstance. My want is now your wish, melting worlds away, spiraling inside you now. Pure lust I shall endow. Hush, hush, whispered wet as my teeth take your neck. High inside my clouds you succumb, shadow fall and shrouds. End poem.
Oh, I like that. What did you write that for? Was it a contest or just something that came upon you that insisted be put down on paper?
Yeah, it was one of those.
One of those ones just kind of pour out of the end of the paper or out of the end of the pen, and if you don't capture it, it gets away.
Yeah, for sure.
I've got another one here. I don't know if it quite fits the artwork, but it's Karina. I don't know if you've ever heard me read this one. Let me grab the link and I'll throw it out there, because we have a lot of in the artwork. There's a lot of couples. You see a lot of figures joined together, trees, stone, but they're male and female figures joined together. So I kind of grabbed this one because this talks about mythology too. Okay, where did I put me? Oh, here we are. Karina. The merest suggestion of her unclad contours silently stand, poised in the bedroom's darkened doorway, almost spectral, unsubstantial, her silhouette blending with the shadows. He more feels her presence than sees her. senses her, an almost imperceptible change in the barometrics of the room, as if from the introduction of unseen radiance. Pausing, she makes her way into the bedroom, an almost undetectable breath of air, an imperceptible eupnea, a slight atmospheric pressure change, or was it imagined? No, for he focuses his gaze and can barely detect her. Umbral prestidigitation, forming a shadow show, while her form coalesces and disperses as a veiled illusion. As she moves, the broken shadow plays across her face. A faint glimpse of light and the sparkling eyes are disclosed. With a soft shimmer, the upturned corners of parted lips revealed. She proceeds with an otherworldly silence. There's a dreamlike shade. Her skin is incandescent as the moon glow playing across it. He now believes she is there, for he wants to. So backlighted in the suffused, argent glow from the window, the moonlight shadows wrap around her nutritious body, cloaking her indistinct nakedness in gauze-like gown. He feels the bed move slightly, catches a waft of her musky scent, and she insinuates herself beneath the bedclothes. Her heat warms the air, and now he is certain he is not alone. Breathless, he hesitates for fear of interrupting this enchantment. The hesitation is confirmed as he feels her skin against his, and her hands slowly begin to explore his body. In his wildest imagination, he could never have dreamed of this. Nothing he had seen or felt before could have prepared him for the flood of sensations which exploded across his senses. But that night, his perception of reality had been altered, for she had introduced him to a different universe of awareness, to sensuality so intense, pleasure so profound, truth had new meaning. The next morning, a different world, with new facts of existence that his mind could barely comprehend, yet he knew it to be true. It had happened. She had been there. He gazed about the room, and it held no evidence of her presence, save that the air was suffused with the rich musk of her scent. Nothing to see or touch, not a trace of what he knew to be true. He could speak of it to no one, for that would have felt like sacrilege. And yet he knew the truth of it all, that he was now hers. He had felt certain in the core of his being that was only the beginning. Last night she had initiated him into her world, spiritual, mythic, for she herself was the stuff of mythos, so ancient, so antediluvian, that her existence was lost in antiquity, shrouded by time immemorial. This mystic being had chosen him, and she was not to be denied. Last night he had wanted to know her name, what to call her, and when he asked, she spoke only one word in response.
Wow, beautiful read, Bobby. And,
Thank you.
That's a powerful poem. It's really hard-hitting and impactful. You know, you can see all this as it happens, yet it didn't happen, yet it did. You know, I like the spirit of Karina. It's definitely powerful and engaging throughout. So, yeah, beautiful, right? And excellent read
Thank
as well.
You. Karina, I put in my author's notes, Karina, it's an Arabic superstition that Karina is similar to a succubus with origins possibly in ancient Egypt, Egyptian religion or in the animalistic beliefs of pre-Islamic Arabia. Karina possesses and sleeps with the person and has relations during sleep and is known by the dreams. They are said to be invisible, but a person with second sight can see them, and only certain people are possessed and belong to them. But I thought that was an intriguing take on the myth of succubus, and I thought it being otherworldly might have some application to the artwork. So, okay, we got 10 minutes left. You got anything else you can share with us?
I do. I've got Far From Fire, Earth and Fire.
Oh,
step lightly upon the field of dried maple leaves. Feel the push of gusting winds as autumn brings summer to its knees. Conspire deep within your heart to bind the touch of frost. Frost, far from fire, from hearth and fire. Stand alone upon the cusp of twilight to hear the owl call into the coming night. It is outside your comfort zone where lies the magic of life's unknown. Beauty is inside yourself as you search for something else. A sacred connection exists between you, between your eyes and midnight skies. So disconnect and reconnect and find the truer you and home.
I like that. That's nice. Did you write that for a contest?
No, I didn't. I wrote it for a show by, maybe I did write for a contest. Sorry. Let me see. no, I didn't. I think I wrote it to prompt poem by, Rolling Stone, Room Enough, it's called.
Well, I'm going to throw a brevity out there. And I think we're done for the evening because we've got about 8 minutes left. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the next contest, although I did talk about that in the beginning. But let me quickly shift over here to okay, where are you? There you are. And I'm a follower of Lynn Gauthier. I like her contests. And she sometimes uses photographs. And she sometimes uses illustrations. And I think this one was a photograph. And it just intrigued me so that I knew I had to write something for it, but I didn't know what I was going to write, like, you know, until you put your fingers to your keys, and then all of a sudden it comes out. And here we go, A Handful of Smoke. And it's a rhymed brevity. And it's based on the illustration at the top of the piece. And that photograph, I just found it so intriguing. A virtuoso of love's illusions, your deceptions were complete. So masterful your subterfuge, so skillful your deceit. So taken in was I that I laid my heart at your feet. Though I tried with all my might, your tenderness I could not evoke. Your heart and emotions so shrouded in an impenetrable cloak. That to win your love was like trying to grasp a handful of smoke. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Bobby. And that's a heart-wrenching poem, you know, when you're trying to connect with somebody, but there's nothing there to hold on to. It's just trying to grasp a handful of smoke, which is a powerful alliteration. So beautiful job.
Thank you. I'm kind of proud of that one. And I guess Lynn liked it, too, because I got a gold on it. Yeah, that's one of those ones that just, you know, when you're done with it, you're kind of like, damn, that really came together well. Because I loved the picture, and I was trying to figure out what the hell. And actually, one of my favorite phrases is trying to grasp a handful of smoke. Because it illustrates so perfectly possible, that is, how something is. It's like some people like to say, that's like trying to throw jello against the wall. They like to stick jello against the wall. You ever heard that one?
No.
It's a task is impossible. It's like throwing jello against the wall. Anyway, enough of obscure references. We've got 6 minutes left. Now, I'm going to go back to our original contest here. Maybe. There it is. Okay. I'll post. I've almost got this all ready. I just have to do a little bit of tweaking. Excuse me. excuse me again. That's COVID's lasting gift to me, is this persistent, non-productive, dry cough that I keep getting from time to time. So at the most inopportune moment, for anyone who has read over this card contest, the write-up's not going to change. But the artwork, the prompt is, I've got 50 some odd brand new prompts to put out there, more of his work, and it's just as stunning as this group. Some of it's themed a little bit differently. Some of them are earlier works because I really, like I said, I scoured and got, I was amazed at the quantity out there. And I'm getting a good reception for this because we got like 17 pieces on this, although I was hoping someone would call in or even write on the board. I got to say, and I don't think it has any reflection on you, but this is the first time no one has written in on the board. I was like,
yeah.
Damn, maybe we better send out invitations next time. So
right.
Anyway, yeah, maybe I will. I don't know. Anyway, I seem to get a good reception of this Too Much of a Good Thing, because the other artists out there, surrealists that are prolific, and there's such an assortment of their work out there that I'm almost loath to. The reason I would rather put out two contests with a lot of prompts, I don't want the artists, or I don't want the contests to reflect my particular taste, what I like from the artist. I would rather put everything out there, flood people with too much, them choose. And that's the reason I put so many prompts out there, is I would rather that the selection be by the writer and not by the host of the contest. And it's just, that's a personal idiosyncrasy. But anyway, some people seem to enjoy it, and they're enjoying the artwork. And several people have said that we've introduced them to new artists, which is the point. So anyway, we got 3 minutes left. You want to end early tonight?
Yeah, sure.
That, or I could still sing I'd Rather Be Blue Thinking of You Than Be Happy with Somebody Else, unless you're going to have secondhand roots.
Yeah. Right.
If you want to hear that song, seriously, if you want to hear it sung well, Barbara Streisand sings it at the beginning of Funny Girl. She sings it. It's the scene where she's on skates. She's in the chorus line and she's skating. She's on roller skates and they skate into one another and she gets pushed back out onto the stage and she starts singing, I'd rather be blue thinking of you. I'd rather be blue over you. And it's cute. It really is. And I just, I just really enjoy the song. I just can't remember all the words, and it's easy to sing.
Yeah.
And I know that long time ago, back when I was in my early 20s, there was a restaurant right outside of base at Quantico that had that on the jukebox, and I drove people nuts with it one night.
Yeah.
You know, God, she's singing it again. So, anyway, hey, great. Thank you so very much for your assistance today, this evening, and for your contributions, your opinions, and thank you for your extra poetry. I really appreciated that. We filled in the time, and I'm going to have to tell Dan Deschino that he missed a real event because we actually finished and we had time left over and had to fill in with other poetry. So he'll never know.
Yeah. What
he did. So, but I'm sure he's given you a good run as your co-host. So I'm glad he's with you. So,
absolutely, thanks so much, Bobby.
Yeah.
I will.
Hey, good night, and thanks for everything. Ciao.
Good night, Bobby. Much love.